The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, working with the world's leading broadcasters and equipment suppliers to transform industry standard technologies and workflows.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up on this week's Radio Today programme, we'll hear from Radio Centre on what it's been doing to support the commercial radio sector during the lockdown and its plans for promoting radio as the advertising medium of choice for businesses as the economic recovery gets underway. Radio Centre CEO Siobhan Kenny will be on with us later. And in David Lloyd's Radio Moments, was it the prospect of commercial radio what won it? Memories of Lord Reith, there's the arrival of magic in place of melody in London, and it's 100 years this week since the first live celebrity entertainment broadcast in the world.
Original music for this podcast was composed by
McCasside. First, Radio Today's founder and editor, Roy Martin, is here. Missed our little chat with you the last couple of weeks. Roy, how's things?
Oh, I don't know, honestly, is the word. I know it's taken us like five takes to get to this point already. But yeah, I'm not dead yet, which is good. And I'm not making light of that at all because, you know, it's come close a few times. How are you doing?
Yeah, similar. Things have been tough some weeks, haven't they? We both got a couple of kids at home, which is interesting when you're trying to get on and do work and find ways to earn a living and make money and stuff. It's not always easy.
I know. I'm just annoyed. I'm annoyed at myself for not being able to. I mean, I'm annoyed at people that are living on their own and they're single and they say they don't have time to do stuff when they're furloughed. And I know it's mentally challenging and it's hard for everybody. It's hard for us. It's hard for people we work with. It's hard for you guys listening because we've all got our own issues through this thing. And this isn't about life. It's about radio. So we should really shut up and talk about radio. But it's just something that's affecting us both, isn't it? And we're both getting a bit down about it.
Yeah, we are. But at the same time, we're trying to get some radio stories out there and trying to make some podcasts and things for all the people who are interested in stuff that's going on in the industry. But for those that don't know, Radio Today basically is Roy, and then I help out a little bit now and then. So it's not some massive organization with 20 staff writing stories and chasing things and finding out exclusives and all kind of stuff. It's just us working from home. So bear with us. If we don't get stuff on in a timely manner at the moment, it might be that we've got, you know, percentages to teach our year five children or whatever, like I've been doing today.
Yeah. Normally it's fine because I work from home. I have done for a long time like you, and everybody's out. The wife goes to work, the kids are in school, and it's great. I've got 8 hours a day to work. But yeah, it's just awkward at the moment. And I feel stupid for even mentioning this because there are people listening to this whose lives are collapsing because they've lost their dream job on the radio and things like that. So, you know, and I know what's hard for somebody isn't always, you know, the same for somebody else or whatever that famous wise saying is, but we've all got shit to deal with, basically.
Yeah.
And there's things been going on this week, you know, behind the scenes where people have been complaining maybe about us not doing stories. And yeah, we're sorry. We've got stuff to do and we will do it. It's not that we don't want to do it. It's just things taking a little bit longer than normal.
Yeah. And, you know, where previously we might have had the time to go out looking for things and, you know, finding stories and writing them up ourselves, we're relying a bit more on you sending to us at the moment. So if you have got something that you or your radio station or your group or whatever is doing, or you got a bit of an anonymous tip off that you want to send us and we'll follow it up, bung us an email. It's news@radiotoday.co.uk. Whoever's on desk at the time will pick up that email address. So if you send it to news@radiotoday.co.uk, whoever's looking after it, whether it's me or Roy, or we've sat one of the kids in front of an iMac and said, here, write some radio news, somebody will find it and they'll do something with it.
How many iMacs have you got? The other thing is, if you send an email and we don't reply for a couple of days, do follow it up. Do say, oi, reply to me, you ignorant whatever, because genuinely things do get missed and we do appreciate a follow-up. Don't feel bad about that.
Yeah, our email inboxes are quite often overflowing, quite literally. So there's all sorts has been going on. Let's get on with some radio chat. Bauer changes. We've talked a lot about what is coming and what's going to happen for Greatest Hits Radio and the Hits Radio stations, but it's actually started to happen this week with a few stations now taking some network programs and jingles and things like that.
It's strange because it's they're easing them in gently, I think, is the best way to describe it. Some of the radio stations that are becoming part of the HITS network are taking HITS network programming, but their own local version of them. So it's like they're getting listeners used to the new features and the new sort of program names and things like that. And it's only for X wireless stations at the moment as well, because I think they have the network infrastructure in place probably better than the other groups, although Celador did a lot of networking, so maybe they'll come next. So yeah, it's an interesting time. What exactly has been going on? Have you got the actual details there?
Yeah, so Pulse One and Signal One and The Wave in Swansea are taking some of these network programs now. I think there's a new Late Show, is it, and some weekend programs, and they've got the new imaging to match the rest of the HITS network. Alex Lester started going out on the wireless, ex-wireless stations that are going to turn into Greatest Hits Radio. So that's like Wish, Wire, Tower, Wave, and Signal 107 and Pulse 2 and those kind of things.
Yeah, but the new network show on the on Signal, Wave, and Pulse, like you said, that's the same network show. It's their own. It's still a kind of wireless group network show. It's not the show from Manchester. It's got a different presenter doing it than the one on HITS Manchester, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's the same show, but with a different presenter. But I guess, yeah, like I said before, it's just easing them in gently.
And interestingly, Swansea Sound is actually kind of staying fully local. It's expanded to Cardiff, and it's even getting a new evening show as well that it doesn't really have at the moment.
Yeah, so that is getting more local shows. It's going to be local from 6 until midnight during the week. It's even got Welsh language programmes in the late hours, 10 p.m. until midnight, but they are changing the name. You'd think if they were doing so much local programming, they'd just actually leave Swansea Sound, which is a big heritage station, of course. You'd think they'd leave that as it is, like they have done with Pirate and a couple of others. But no, it's going to be Greatest Hits Radio South Wales, I think it is, from September.
Yeah, there is a lot of rivalry between Swansea and Cardiff. You know, it's equivalent for you, I suppose, to explain it for Roy in Lancashire terms. It's Blackburn versus Burnley. So Cardiff and Swansea have got a lot of rivalry. So if you had a radio station called Swansea Sound and you put it on the multiplex in Cardiff, Cardiff people wouldn't listen.
Okay, so are they going to do programmes for Cardiff? Or just turn it on in Cardiff, basically.
Yeah, turn it on in Cardiff, but I think it's going to be South Wales, obviously focused across the whole of South Wales. So take on heart and capital and stuff in that area, won't it?
That's the digital future right there that they're banging on about.
Absolutely. We didn't have a chance to talk to you about this, but we heard from Helen Bowden last week on the news that Tim Davey has been announced as the new Director General. He's going to take over later in the year from Tony Hall. Of course, we know him quite well. He used to be at the radio festivals for many years when we were there as Director of Audio and Music at the BBC. He's the man who brought us the Pepsi chart on commercial radio when he was in charge of Pepsi's marketing department in the 1990s as well. And everybody seems to think it's a good hire for the BBC.
Yeah, to have a radio guy, so to speak, at the top of the BBC is no bad thing. So once he gets settled in, of course, he did the job previously as a deputy, didn't he? Holding the fort, so to speak, a few years ago. So yeah, once he gets in, I'm sure him and the radio team will do good things. Looking forward to that.
Lots of audio companies have been signing up to the Equality in Audio Pact, 5 actions to help challenge the industry to make changes. They include paying interns, hiring LGBTQ, black people, people of colour and other minorities on projects that are not only related to their identity, releasing race pay gap data as well as gender pay gap data, not taking part in panels that don't represent the cities and towns and industries they take place in, communicating and being transparent about who works for your company, as well as their role and position and what kind of permanency their job has as well. So you can find out more about that and sign up your organization, if you haven't already, at equalityinaudiopact.co.uk. The plans for Times Radio are advancing. It's going on air in a couple of weeks now. Talk Radio and Talk Sport 2 then have now gone on to DAB Plus on the Sound Digital Multiplex. So presumably Times is going to take up some of that space on SDL?
I guess so. I don't think they've said, have they? But we can all assume that that's why the changes have been made. And the timing and everything else seems to match. So, yeah, I guess so.
That's me not picking it up here then. And Times have hired Ross Kempsall to be their special correspondent. Some news of that this week. He used to be political editor for Talk Radio and Talk Sport. And, of course, he did that interview with Boris Johnson, where Boris Johnson talked about enjoying painting model buses in his spare time. That got him a job at Downing Street as a policy advisor. But he's back. He's back from his year out of radio and will be special correspondent for Times. Some changes at LBC. Nigel Farage has gone, made a bit of an early exit just before the end of his contract after some controversial comments off air. 3 years on air doing a daily show. And in comes the Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer, meanwhile, to the LBC schedule to do a regular phone-in show. Not on that evening slot where Farage has been, but during the breakfast show, I think once a month, with Nick Ferrari.
He was actually quite good. I mean, I don't have an opinion either way on Nigel Farage, but listening to his radio show, he was quite a good radio host, wasn't he? I don't know if you agree with that.
I think he did very well at prompting callers, which, you know, back to the old days of phone-in hosts, you know, the Scotty McClues of this world would say lots of things that would prompt people to ring in and get angry with the host. And I suppose Farage was really good at that for obvious reasons. And he had some good barneys with people. Obviously, you know, a lot of people don't agree with his politics, and it was good to get those people on the air with him and have the debates and have the arguments. So I think LBC would probably say it was a popular choice to have him on there, but it's probably done its job. Obviously, being on air during all the Brexit stuff that's happened the last few years, things moving on now, and obviously, you know, the comments he made obviously led Global to decide we're not renewing your contract, and you can leave as of now.
They haven't announced who's replacing him, have they?
I don't think so.
Oh, something to look forward to.
Global, meanwhile, have started ramping up their Make Some Noise campaigning this week. And they've got a new appeal fund to raise money for people hit hard by coronavirus. Lots of big name artists getting behind the campaign and presenters as well.
Yeah, Chris Moyles did something, didn't he? Did a pubcast, one of his pubcasts last week. And you could only get in the link if you sent a donation via text, I think it was, £10. And you got the link for to see the pubcast live in vision. And then, of course, you can type the word cancel afterwards once you get in if you wanted to.
Oh, really?
Get your money back.
Oh, yeah, dear. But you can, no, people wouldn't have
well,
done that.
They
built
it as being, I don't think James did it, but I think they were promoting it as a voluntary donation. I think they were promoting the fact that you can easily press cancel, which hopefully people didn't do, but it was there as an option.
And if you are looking for a cause to support as well, the Radio Academy Audio and Radio Emergency Fund is doing some fantastic work and helping people with some grants to replace some of their income or help them buy some equipment to start up some new aspect to their audio career. And our friend Andrea has been making radio theme masks this week to help support that cause. £2.50 from every sale going to the Radio Academy Audio and Radio Emergency Fund. You can get yourself a couple of audio-related masks. So one's got radios on, one's got cassettes on. Funkymasks.uk. I ordered mine, and they came, and they're great.
What a great idea. Whoever came up with that idea?
Was it you?
I think so, yeah.
But Andrea's doing all the hard work. She's the one slaving over a sewing machine and sorting out all the orders and everything. But yeah, I think a lot of people have been ordering those. So many, in fact, after we put the info on radio today, that she sold out within 3 hours, and there is more material on the way. So put your name down if you want to get a couple. Funkymasks.uk.
It's bizarre, isn't it, how a couple of months ago, most people were like, no, I'm not wearing a mask and never going down that route. And, you know, this week it's become a legal requirement on public transport and in other places, and you never know where we're going to end up next, do you? It's just a crazy time at the moment. I still haven't got one.
Yeah, I've got a few. I've got some geeky ones as well. So I'm actually, I think I'll post a picture later in the week of me in my radio-related masks. Hopefully, fingers crossed, as we're recording, if this is going to happen, I might be back in an actual radio studio at the weekend.
What?
Yes.
You kept that quiet?
I know. So after 3 months with no freelance work at the BBC, where I do a bit of freelance news reading and news writing, I may be making my return to the airwaves this weekend.
Oh, fantastic. I shall look forward to tuning in. Will you be on the air? Will you be reading or writing?
Both, yes. Combined role. Yes, it's back to the old commercial radio days where one person does everything to minimise the number of people in due to the unique way the BBC is funded. But yes, fingers crossed, because the football is back, of course, and Five Live has been taking some Radio 2 news on the hour. They obviously can't necessarily take an on-the-hour bulletin on a Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, where they've got football commentaries. So the return of some actual Five Live news from Salford, and I may well be reading it this weekend, so listen out for me there.
You're going to go back out into the big wide world and see people. What's that going to be like?
Going to work. Actually, going to work rather than working from home for the first time in 13 weeks. It's going to be strange. It's going to be very strange. It's going to be strange.
No way.
And one other thing to finish on, which was some sad news we heard recently, of the death of Tony Wright, who was a presenter well-known in South Wales, just 55, one half of Tony and Angela at Breakfast with Angela J on Real Radio in South Wales for a bit. He'd been at Red Dragon and Touch AM, Capital Gold, stint at Nation Radio as well, about 20 years altogether on Breakfast Radio across South Wales. So very sad to hear of Tony's recent death. You can see some of the tributes from colleagues at radiotoday.co.uk.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionics Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
This is the Radio Today programme, and we thought this week we'd check in on commercial radio during the pandemic. 3 months ago, it seems like a lot longer, we spoke to Siobhan Kenny, the CEO of Radio Centre, and she's back with us on the podcast this week. Hi, Siobhan, how are you?
Hi, Stuart, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, getting there. It seems like longer than 3 months since we spoke.
Doesn't it just? I was just looking out to see when it was, but I suppose that it was more or less at the start of, as we went into lockdown, doesn't it? Yeah, very, very different. Feels very different.
It does. And obviously, things have changed. Revenues were dropping at that time 3 months ago. Sales staff in commercial radio have been furloughed, and S&P staff. Are things turning the corner now? Are they getting better?
Well, I mean, I hesitate to say too early that we see green shoots appearing. But, you know, certainly things are moving in, you know, we faced catastrophic drops in advertising revenue, as I think we discussed last time round, of up to, you know, 50% and sometimes more in our real hyper-local stations. But now, of course, because we've got some easing of lockdown this week with the shops opening, we've seen, and obviously the motor showrooms opening, so that has brought back a little bit of advertising, for which we're very grateful. I mean, we're no means back to normal levels yet, but if we can anticipate over the next few weeks and months, lockdown eventually kind of easing off a bit, I think that's only going to help us go in one direction. So it's, you know, in answer to your question, short answer is we're definitely not back to normal, but we are moving in the right direction now.
And of course, for commercial radio, the price people they can charge for advertising is linked to audience figures. We had the Q1 Rajars, which looked quite good for commercial radio, but it's still some uncertainty as what might happen as regard the Q2 figures, which are important for the sales teams at commercial radio stations.
Indeed. I mean, it's kind of one of the great ironies, isn't it, that we've probably never had bigger listening figures, but, you know, we haven't really got the Rajar number to support that. I know Jerry and the team are working very hard at Rajar to come up with some kind of solution for us. They haven't as yet announced anything, but there's a lot of work going on. It's just clear, isn't it, that sort of face-to-face has completely stopped since March the 23rd. So we'll have to be looking at other solutions for that. But we know anecdotally from our sort of digital listening figures that, you know, we've had a strong time since lockdown began, and for all the reasons that we can anticipate, you know. And obviously, there's many more people at home. We've done a survey recently at Radio Centre just about those different categories. So it showed that sort of people, commercial radio listeners who are the newly working from home, as we called them, were listening for, you know, for at least another couple of hours a day. I found another survey that we did just in the last couple of weeks really revealing about looking at people's attitude towards coming out of lockdown. So there were sort of three categories, if you like. There were the newly working from home, that's sort of me and my team and lots of people across the whole economy. There's the people who normally work from home. And then there's a group called key workers. So those are the people who've been going out all the time, that, you know, ever since lockdown started. And that final group are the group who are most gung-ho about what they're going to do and what they're most looking forward to, foreign travel, all the rest of it. So in a way, the people who have not been sitting at home, I think, are going to lead the way in consumer behaviour as much as anything else. So, you know, there's some interesting trends coming out, and we're staying close to them, of course.
And I guess there have been some sectors who've continued their advertising spend throughout to reinforce their messages, and obviously government spending has been one of those as well.
Yeah, it has. It's one of the things we talked to government about right at the beginning. You know, you'll be aware that the government put a significant amount into newspapers at one point, and although we were obviously very happy for our colleagues in the newspaper sector, we thought it was a little bit ironic to be wrapping newspapers with a message saying please stay at home when no one could actually buy those newspapers because they had to stay at home. So we said, hello government, do you know what would be a better way to communicate your message about staying at home? It's radio. And so thankfully they have put a lot more money into radio, and it makes sense, to be honest with you, Stu. They said right at the beginning of lockdown, said one of the key audiences they were trying to reach, that they were having problems reaching with their messages to government, was sort of males from 18 to 24 and from 44 onwards, which, I mean, some might say that sounds like all men, doesn't it? But again, you know, because radio with specific targeting is a really good way to get through to those audiences. And I think as we come out of lockdown and the messages become a little bit more complicated than just stay at home, we're seeing that they're using some more nuanced ways of communicating to get those messages across. So we're very happy about that.
And we talked, I think, a few months ago about some of the initial things you'd lobbied government and Ofcom to do. And one of those was about relaxation of programming regulation by Ofcom for a few months. You've also been seeking help for commercial radio businesses in terms of financial help that they could get either from the government or from suppliers. That's progressing well?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, obviously this week we've had the announcement that Arqiva has given a 6-month waiver on transmission fees for small independent local services, and a 3-month discount of 50% for other services, sort of national stations and multiplex operators. So that's been the end of many weeks of discussions with Arqiva, with DCMS and other industry stakeholders, and we're very pleased that has given some security for those operators, so they actually know what they're getting now. So we're very grateful for that. I mean, I suppose on the kind of, there's a group of operational things of which that is included, because transmission costs is such a large fixed cost for most radio stations. And that's, as you say, the Ofcom regulations. So they have indeed relaxed that programming production requirements until the end of 2020. One of the other things we asked for and were given by government was a sort of key worker definition for, you know, ensuring that essential commercial radio staff were captured by the government definition of key workers. So that was to permit travel to work and access to schools and all of the above. When that list first came out, we weren't included on it, but thankfully we were afterwards. And I suppose there's also, I should mention, the area of public service content. So, you know, the Audio Content Fund was brought forward, so like 400 grand from the Audio Content Fund was brought forward to support projects with a specific coronavirus support. So it was kind of, there was a package of measures in that first tranche that we looked at. And most of those, I think, we've been quite successful in getting. And we thank the government and Ofcom and all the others who've helped us out there. And, of course, Arqiva. I suppose there's a more, you know, the broader things that, of course, you know, we've mentioned is government advertising. We've seen an uplift in government advertising rights, of course. You know, we've been talking to PRS and PPL about how they could mitigate some of the costs, certainly in the short term. And, you know, and Radar, of course, we've discussed. So there's it's safe to say we've been in very close contact with our friends at DCMS and Ofcom over this period. I think we've seen more of them via Zoom than we normally do. But I think it's been good. I should also mention, actually, it's been fantastic for us to have an ex-commercial radio executive in Andy Carter as the head of our APPG. I don't know whether you know Andy, Stu, from his days in commercial radio.
Yeah, certainly do.
So it's fantastic to have somebody who's so close to all the issues, so really understands what it takes to run a commercial radio station from lots of different sides of the business. And he's been a really energetic advocate, I would say, for us with the government. So it's been great to have him. He's really helped us achieve the things that we have with the government. So I'd like to thank Andy particularly.
Fantastic. And in terms of the commercial radio landscape, I mean, the other thing that's changed quite a lot since we last spoke is Bauer being allowed to press on with integrating the companies that it bought into its main business. Does that change anything in terms of the makeup of how Radio Centre operates, with Celador and Lynx FM having seats around your table and now those being taken by Bauer?
Well, it's interesting. We always said that, of course, we had to wait until what's happened recently has happened before we looked at the construct of our board table and all the rest of it. So I think we're going to press on with doing that now, but I mean, to all intents and purposes, you know, we're a broad church at Radio Centre. One of our key ambitions is to serve the whole industry. So I don't think that this changes anything in that respect.
And on advertising, obviously that key role we talked about as promoting radio as a medium, and you're increasing your drive to certain different sectors of the advertising market to help them find out more about radio with some virtual events you're going to be running.
Yeah, that's right. Because we ran, obviously it was right, slap bang in the middle of the first couple of months of lockdown was our tuning in annual event in London. So obviously we do lots outside London as well. So we took an early decision to sort of turn that into a virtual event, knowing that it seemed very unlikely that anybody would be back sitting in a physical forum anytime soon. And so we put a lot of time and effort into doing that and producing it well as a viewing experience, because I think a lot of us have been on the receiving end in this time of things that are, you know, not that engaging, really. So we did that. I'm being polite, obviously. So we did our two-hour event in the middle of May, and we were delighted that we had 1,200 people tuning into that and staying with it as well. So it was kind of well attended, and we thought, okay, well, we can learn something from doing this. Is that there is an appetite for this, because obviously the many, many people sitting at home, working from home, they want to feel connected to the broader industry. So what we're going to be announcing soon is a series of mini tuning ins, if you like, aimed at the advertising community particularly, but just to talk about what the amazing opportunities that are coming our way in terms of, so we're looking at four particular sectors, so motors, finance, retail and travel. Those are all going to be happening from the end of June onwards, a series of virtual conferences, which will have industry experts, you know, talking to advertisers about how best to use radio. Obviously, the key thing, I think, key attribute of radio in this particular time that we're in now is speed to market, you know. So because we're going to be in very rapidly changing environment, how good is it to have something where you can, A, remotely make your adverts, but also get them on air within a couple of hours, you know, within a couple of days, and you can see the difference sometimes in other media because you already feel like, oh, hang on a minute, that feels a bit old-fashioned already because there was a different government announcement a couple of days ago. So I think we're just going to be reminding people of the strength of commercial radio, of its amazing reach, you know, reach being at record high in the last group of RAJARs, and but again, aiming to put together a really engaging event so that people actually want to stick with it.
And a kind of transitional three-month period that we enter now, as you say, as things start to reopen and people come back into commercial radio stations from being on furlough, what's your focus for the next few months then for promoting commercial radio?
We are very much focused on that advertising audience for now, because what, you know, as we all know, that it's sort of a time of crisis, you know, while it presents danger, can also present a great opportunity. So there may be people who we can reintroduce to radio who kind of had gone off the radar for a while. So I think with all the things that we've managed to achieve, and we've got a very interesting report coming out on the public value of commercial radio during this particular time in the next few weeks. And that really shows, you know, people sometimes tend to think that public value only comes from the BBC, but actually we serve a very different audience and quite a specific audience. And so it really shows that people turn to commercial radio, as they do to the BBC, of course, at a time like this, and they want certain things from it. So I think, you know, all in all, we've got a very attractive package to talk about. And when we've got, of course, you know, our new guidance on T's and C's, that as the motor industry has been returning to radio advertising, I don't know whether, like me, you've heard some of those particularly egregious examples of, you know, 18 and over, all that stuff. And people don't need to say that anymore because we've got FCA guidance which says you don't. So, you know, you can't remind people enough. So I think that's what we're going to be on a mission to do that, first of all. Obviously, we're going to be reminding people of the public value of the amazing sector that is commercial radio. And my personal ambition is to try and get, you know, make the office fit for purpose so that people actually can come into work. I recognise that we're going to be doing that in quite a different way. But, you know, I think, you know, let's try and get things back to normal as much as we can, is my goal.
Thank you, Siobhan. That's Siobhan Kelly from Radio Centre here on the Radio Today programme. David Lloyd is on the way after your weekly reminder about Clean Feed. If you've not yet tried it, this could be the week you give it a go. Clean Feed is a great way to connect in live studio quality just using a browser at either end. No fancy hardware required. It's great for outside broadcasts if you happen to be doing any of those, or maybe getting presenters onto the radio from home, or getting a guest onto your podcast if you make one. Clean Feed's been designed for radio people and for podcasters. It's really simple to use and the quality is great. It won't cost you anything to get started, and it's really quick and simple to get set up. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net.
Because we grew up with radio, it's part of who we are.
It's 50 years this week since the general election with a surprise result, which was to lead at last to a government which supported the prospect of commercial radio.
Next on Caroline, the news at 8 o'clock, read by Mark Wesley.
And the news of the day and of the year, Conservatives' victory over Labour of 30-odd seats. Edward Heath needs now only the official appointment by the Queen and Harold Wilson's declaration of defeat to begin his role as Prime Minister of a Conservative government.
During the campaign, famously there, the offshore pirate radio station RNI changed its name to the anti-establishment Radio Caroline brand and urged its listeners to vote Conservative.
Attention, everyone living in the Maldon constituency of Essex. Brian Harrison is your Conservative candidate. Brian Harrison believes in free speech, free radio, free enterprise, and freedom of the individual. Have you ever thought about how much freedom you could be losing? phone Brian Hurst.
Don't try that at home. Memories of 1970 and the station which was jammed for its efforts by the British government. There's a great documentary on all that too by Paul Rowley. Launch marketing for radio stations takes many forms. This week, 37 years ago, GB Radio, Gwent Broadcasting, launched in Newport with a promotional flexi-disc through your letterbox.
Every hour through the day, Gwent Broadcasting keeps you in touch with the news of Gwent and the world. You'll meet the people in the headlines, you'll hear the stories behind the headlines. Every hour and every day, the real news that matters to Gwent.
Life can be serious, life can be a lot of fun. At Gwent Broadcasting, we'll be reflecting both those moods.
You can hear the crackles going. You remember those old flexi discs? Used to get them sellotaped to the front of magazines years ago. The start of GB Radio, sucked later into Red Dragon. It was an early 80s commercial radio problem child, and it only lasted 2 years. We now know that good old Tim Davey is to be the new DG at the BBC.
We've apologised unreservedly, as you know.
The first person to have DG on their Dymo name badge was Lord Reith, and John died this week in 1971.
If you're telling me that the BBC declined in competitive spirit and energy and imagination after I left it, I should be awfully sorry, but obviously I can't deny that.
There have in fact been a great many changes since you left.
Yeah.
Do you regret them, or do you realise that they've perhaps been inevitable?
A great many, I think, were not inevitable, and I regret them.
It's not quite W1A, is it? What great answers. Dorothy Torrey was Lord Reith's PA, and she told Becky Milligan about his legacy.
This amazing thing of being a public service and impartiality, it is impartial. All the time I was there, we had different governments, left and right, and each of them said the BBC is biased. They evened out. He hated politics, Lord Reith did, really.
Why? You know.
Well,
you can tell me, it's fine.
Well, everything they say is for party political, and he was not party political.
Was he friends with politicians?
He sucked up to them rather a lot.
Did he?
Yes.
How?
Well, because he wanted to flatter the Prime Minister, get the Prime Minister on his side.
Lord Reith wasn't too keen on the BBC governors. What a miserable lot they are, he said of them in his diary. And he didn't like TV either. He was usually on holiday when major TV events occurred. Magic is now huge in London. The station began life as Melody, playing lift music. But it was bought this week in 1998 by EMAP for £25 million, and the brand transition began.
Enjoy your lunchtime with London's Magic 105.4 Melody FM.
We did what I think was a really good game in terms of rebranding the radio station. We took our time, we took something like 6 months, and we had four iterations. It was Melody FM 105.4, then it was 105.4 Melody FM, then it was London's Magic 105.4 Melody FM, then it was London's Magic 105.4 Melody, and then it was London's Magic 105.4. So we had four iterations, and I think it's one of the very few examples where we were able to rebrand the radio station and simultaneously grow the audience.
Francis Curry reflecting on EMAP buying Melody for a magic future this week, 22 years ago. In 1982 this week, BBC Radio came to Northampton.
You're listening to BBC Radio Northampton on 1107 kHz in the medium wave and 96.6 stereo VHF. It's 7 o'clock. This is Roger Mosey. Good morning. The headlines this Wednesday, the 16th of June. General Galtieri has towed the Argentine...
Thank you, Roger. Destined for good things, as was the station. BBC Radio Northampton launching this week in 1982. The first song was by Diana Ross. It lost the radio bit of Radio Northampton 8 years later and then got it back 10 years afterwards. The Archers is getting some flack now as their COVID episodes are on air.
Right, I reckon that's enough lettuces.
But this week, 16 years ago, it made news for other reasons as Chris Moyles played a cameo role and he replayed the clip later on his breakfast show.
Yeah, I didn't know you were allowed to do it, but go on.
I'm going to do it.
All right.
Hey, I'm Chris Moyles.
This is true.
Thank you. OK, here we go. This is in the pub then, in the Archers. All right?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, yes, sir.
Lovely evening. What can I get you?
Shires, is it?
That's it, cheers. Local speciality.
Right. Pint, in fact.
Oh, it's hard work, this.
There you go!
Chris Moyles in The Archers this week in 2004. What I'd give to be a Radio 4 continuity announcer, just for a day. Much is made these days about the power of personality and whether we should be hiring big names. But the trend started a very long time ago. This week, 100 years ago, we had the first ever live entertainment broadcast in the world by a celebrity when Dame Nellie Melba broadcast here in Britain on 2MT in Rittle. She was a huge opera star in Australia and the whole event sponsored by the Daily Mail. Her microphone fashioned from an old cigar box. Dame Nellie Melba, on air 100 years ago this week. The transmitter was 15 kilowatts, but you could hear it just about everywhere because no other stations to interfere with it, really, 100 years ago. So, with Wave 105 launching on the South Coast 22 years ago.
This is Peter Nicholson, chairman of Wave 105.2 FM, welcoming you for the very first time.
Team Rock Radio launching 7 years ago.
This is a test transmission from Team Rock Radio.
Gaydio becoming the UK's first LGBT radio service when it launched full-time 10 years ago.
In the mix for the entire second hour, the Triple D radio show this week, playing whatever he wants.
The last Tom Ross programme on Free Radio 4 years ago, after 35 years on the frequency.
It won't be the last time we speak, though, I'm sure of that.
And the death of Casey Kasem 6 years ago.
Now on with the countdown.
Number 40.
Here's Marvin Gaye, his hit, End of Our Road.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David, and to my guests this week, Siobhan, Kenny from Radio Centre, and to Roy Martin. Hopefully, we'll have another podcast for you next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.